Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Tang, and I am joined today by Glenn Schultz, who is the head of our agency mortgage prepayment modeling and strategy for MUFG. Today is Wednesday, November 10th, and thank you, Glenn, for joining us again this month.
Hi, Ellen. It's my pleasure to join you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. So listen, before we get into October remit data, which was released earlier this week, I thought we can get into talking about the upcoming agency loan limit increase.
Yeah, absolutely. The Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008, which people refer to as HERA, actually requires baseline loan limits to be adjusted each year to reflect changes in the national home price, the national average home price. So HERA sets loan limits as a function of the local area median home values. In addition to that, the local limit can't exceed more than 50% of the baseline limit. And those are generally referred to as the high cost areas with respect to GSE underwriting.
And then how is the baseline loan limit determined for the purpose of meeting HERA requirements?
So to determine the maximum loan limit under the terms of HERA, the proportional change between Q3 2020 and Q3 2021 of the seasonally adjusted expanded home price index is used by the FHFA to determine the 2022 loan limit. So it's kind of important because that seasonally adjusted expanded home price index is a little bit different than kind of the FHFA home price index that most people are used to quoting.
Okay. And then how does the expanded date home price index differ from the standard home price index? And then do these indices supplement the already existing FHFA index out there?
Yeah, good question. Well, the expanded data home price index actually uses the same repeat transactions indexing methodology as a standard home price index, right? And so then they use the existing agency data. So they're using the data that constitutes the FHFA purchase only index. And then what they do is they supplement that index further with sales price data from county recorder offices, and then also FHA endorsed loans. So what this allows is for the FHFA to capture transactions that are financed with, for example, jumbo loans, as well as all cash transactions. So it really supplements the existing purchase only data quite nicely and gives them a much broader view of home prices.
Okay, got it. That's helpful. So with the two indices, how differently does the expanded data home price index behave, if at all, from the standard index?
Yeah. So it is a little bit different. So the expanded index tracks the standard index very closely. However, it actually shows modestly lower home price appreciation than the standard index following the financial crisis. So for example, if we looked at year over year Q2 2021 standard index home price appreciation on a seasonally adjusted basis, that was like 17.4%. While the expanded data home price appreciation for the same period was 16.4%. So that's 1% behind. You know, my idea is that it probably shows, you know, somewhat lagging home price appreciation at the higher end of the housing market. It's my view of it anyway.
Okay. So what does this all mean for the baseline loan limit increase, and what are the implications for investors here?
Yeah, so for starters, we're estimating, based on the Q2 2021 data, that the conforming loan limit will be at least $638,150. And then recall again the 150% limitation on the high cost areas, which is going to bring that limit up to 975,225. It sounds real precise, but you know, they kind of round these numbers to the nearest $25 when they do these calculations. So what happens here is that the 2020 loan limit increases, you know, will push the tail of the original loan amount distribution, you know, really further and further into the traditional jumbo loan space. Now, this has been going on for a couple of years, but it's particularly pronounced in the last, you know, 2 years of the pandemic in particular. So this is also going to serve to increase the average original loan balance of what we call the generic or non-specified pool cohort. Some people call them the TBA cohort, but essentially those are just the pools that don't fall into, you know, the TBA into the specified pool rules. So what could happen here is investors could specify additional loan balance sectors, right? So one thing they can do is they can say, well, the TBA is becoming more negatively convex and they pack that price up or something like that. Or they identify additional loan balance sectors, right, as a way to deal with that.
Exactly. So additional loan balance sector is an interesting idea. So do you think the market can handle further stratification here? And how do you think investors would stratify loan balance sector even further?
Yeah, well, I definitely think the market could handle further stratification, right? So that generic or TBA cohort, you know, what's remaining after we've applied the spec pool rules, is still pretty robust. So we do show a distribution of that sector based on original loan amount in our November note to clients, which loan balance and convexity costs is what it's entitled. So thinking about it, if you look at, for example, the Fannie Mae 30-year sector, the TBA or the generic accounts for about 2/3 of the outstanding. So that's roughly, you know, $2 trillion. And then what we looked at was, you know, the convexity profile of just that particular sector. So we ignored, you know, everything that it's kind of a specified pool. And what we find is some distinct sort of convexity points, right? So we can see that 300K max pools have a very distinct convexity profile, for example, from super high loan balance or 400K max pools, right? So that's one. And then naturally, the 400K max pools have a distinct convexity profile from the 500K max pools. And then, of course, there's the greater than 500K, which would be certainly well into, I think, you know, the jumbo space, right? So we could definitely segregate that market more based upon loan balance, and there's certainly enough outstanding to be able to do it.
And what do you think the implications of deeper loan balance tiering would be on the market?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, right? So how the market would trade something like this, if they did at all, which I think at some point they'll probably have to address this increasing loan balance, but it's kind of anybody's guess. But, you know, eventually when things like this happen, there's always sort of a consensus among investors and traders and things like that. But, you know, assuming that the market tiers that we outlined above are where the market begins to segregate, then I think what you would see is 400 and 500, you know, and then greater than 500K pools would likely trade to the screen TBA price, because the TBA price obviously is the worst to deliver. And the 400, 500 and greater than 500K pools would definitely be the worst to deliver. You know, of course, that's going to be depending on float and availability and things like that. You know, and perhaps the 300K pools, you know, would trade at like a modest premium, right? So you know, they would be a little bit of a pay up versus the worst to deliver, but, you know, right around where probably the super high loan balance sector is. But I would see something like that. And of course, that gives us greater clarity, right, in terms of what the worst to deliver really looks like and where that lies within, within the various different coupon vintage cohorts, right? So that would be a little bit different, you know, from one coupon vintage cohort to the next, depending on sort of origination during that period of time.
I think the additional tiering by loan balance is a really interesting thought, and the agency mortgage market will have to adapt a higher loan limit going forward one way or another, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're going to have to deal with this, because if you look at sort of our view in terms of home price appreciation, you know, I don't think, you know, obviously we're going to see like the double digit rates of home price appreciation that we've witnessed over the past 2 years, but I do think we'll still have positive home price appreciation. It'll probably settle back into something that people are a little bit more used to seeing, you know, whether 2-4% or, you know, something like that. In you know, at the end of the day, though, these higher home prices are with us to stay, right? It's inflation in home prices, and, you know, it's not transient. You know, once it goes up, it tends to stay up for the most part, unless you have something like the financial crisis that can reverse that trend. But that requires some pretty significant policy mistakes in order to do something like that. So I do think the market will have to address these much higher loan balances in the agency MBS sector, and I feel like, you know, we'll just kind of just keep going down the way that's been successful, which is create more specified pool sectors.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for joining us this month. Always sure. A pleasure to have you on the show.
Sure. Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. You can rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.